Great. This conference is being recorded. December 16th, 2014, Strategic Attraction in Action. So, who'd like to go first? Name a little bit about your business. Name where you're calling from, a little bit about your business.
This is Kate.
Hi, Kate.
Hi. My name is Kate Shattuck. I'm currently in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I'm a medical intuitive for animals. My business is called Radiant Animals.
That's great. And why are you here?
I'm here partly because I've had the pleasure of meeting Jan a couple different times.
Yeah, that'll do it.
I know that there is an easier way to find clients. Clients that are perfect for me and my work than the traditional how people were trained in doing marketing in the 90s and the early 2000s.
That's great. Well, you're in the right place because now what you're going to learn is all of that traditional marketing. It's traditional because it works for some people.
There you go.
Yeah. We're going to add a piece that works for you. So that's great. Boy, I can totally relate to that, and I got some great stories that we'll have to, at the perfect time, we'll have to share. Thank you, Kate. Who's next?
Well, this is Patty in San Jose. Hey, Alan. Hey, Kate. My name and my business is Rockstar Coaching and Consulting. I'm a business coach, and I'm a master facilitator and coach in the strategic attraction planning process. And I'm in the SACAT program as well.
Great. And so, Patty, why are you here? Like, right here. Because, you know, it sounds like, hey, you've been involved in this for a long time. You should have gotten it by now.
Somehow I just keep learning more, and it just keeps going.
Huh.
It keeps going deeper, and it helps me. I've had such a transformational experience in the program and the process, and my clients get a lot of value and experience transformations as well. So, and I love the work, and I love you guys. So.
Interesting. That's great. Well, there it is. Yeah, it just keeps going, because that is another thing that I want everybody to start noticing, that after today, your life and business is never going to be the same. Sorry. It's just going to transform. We're just going to fundamentally transform the way each of you does business. Our mission, our goal for the global SACAT community is actually to have 6 million people using strategic attraction planning to change the way the business is done in the world.
Yes.
And there's more to it than that. But also, so thank you, Patty.
You're welcome, because I'm all about that.
There
the
you
way
go.
The business is changing.
There you go. Make one shift. And it just keeps
That's
going
it.
On. Who's next?
I'll go next. This is Lynn Sanders.
Uh-huh.
And calling in from Winnetka, Illinois. And my company is Park Avenue Marketing, also doing business as Difference Makers Media. And we provide writing and creative media services to help both businesses, small businesses, and nonprofits be able to expand their exposure, build their following, and attract more revenue. And my reason for being here is also, like Patty, I'm also in the SACAT program, and I wanted to deepen my experience and learning even more. And I think that both you and Jan are terrific as well.
Well, thank you, Lynn. Yeah, deepen my experience. That's cool. Thank you, Lynn. Who's next?
Hi, this is Nancy Fields, and I am another SACAT fan, having started the course in September. I'm a graphic designer, and I would like to attract more clients who don't like their current websites, and they want an awesome WordPress website to really transform their businesses. And I'm in Massachusetts.
That's great, Nancy. So you want to attract clients who are... How did you put it? It was really cool the way you put it.
I'm looking to attract clients who don't like their current website,
mm-hmm.
and they want to have an awesome WordPress website that they can easily update and manage themselves after I design it.
That's great. Yeah, and wow. Okay, I have a question that I'm going to come back to you, Nancy, okay? You have just surfaced some very, very valuable wisdom for the entire group. And who knows, there may be more coming. Who's next? Name and live about your business, and why are you here?
Hi, can you hear me okay?
I can.
Oh, excellent. Okay. My name's Isabel. I'm calling from Israel, actually, on the banks of the Red Sea. And my business is isabeldesantis.com. I'm a brand new coach. I'm working with women at midlife or beyond who are really successful in everything except their relationships. And I'm very new to your work, so I'm intrigued and I'm open to learning as much as I can.
That's great. And how did you spell your last name, Isabel?
DeSantis, DeSantis.
So it'd be isabeldesantis.com.
That's right, yeah.
That's great. Boy, are you in the right place. I am so happy to have you here. And, you know, after the class, we'll have to connect and talk more because you have just really surfaced the key piece of strategic attraction planning is all about relationship.
Mm.
It because there's always a relationship, whatever it is that you want to attract, you know, there's a person that's involved in that. And that our definition of marketing is building relationship. So what was it you said? People who are successful
in everything but their relationship. Yeah.
That's great. Oh, boy. I have to write that down, so we'll come back to that, too. That's great. Well, it's great to have you here, Isabel. We've
Thanks.
Now gone
Thanks.
International, everybody. I think there's a few international people listening in the background as well. So who else? Who else would like to say your name and a little about your business and why are you here?
Good morning, Alan. This is Carrie.
Hi, Carrie.
Since nobody else jumped in, I thought I'd let you know I did join the call a little bit late. And why I'm here is to continue getting update and information about using this program. And I am in the process of developing a new coaching program. As the lady before mentioned, I'm a new coach, and so that's why I'm here. And
Very
I'm going
good.
To be on mute. I'm going to be on mute a fair bit.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Well, but you again, you've served. There's a wow. That's amazing. Thank you, Carrie. Anybody else would like to say hello, say your name, where you're from, and a little bit about your business before we dive into strategic attraction planning.
This is Doug May in Occidental, California.
Hi, Doug.
Hi. My business is called The Intuitive Edge. I've been a technology consultant for decades, but on the side I've been doing transformation and sustainability my whole life. And I'm in the middle of rebranding because what I do is bridge technology and transformation. And I'm working on apps for personal transformation and for coaching for personal transformation.
That's
and I'm just here to
great.
Learn about this.
You. What did you just say?
I'm just here to learn about this stuff.
That's great. Well, Doug, we'll have to talk because I'd like to talk to you about making an app for the strategic attraction planning process. But so let me get this straight. You're connecting technology and intuition.
Technology and transformation.
Transformation, but you said the intuitive, what was the intuitive edge?
Yeah, my consulting business is called The Intuitive Edge.
Uh-huh. Okay, got it. Well, one of the we have a area of what I call attractive resources in our SACAT online resources, and one of them is, there is an interview we did with Lynn Robinson, who's written about 7 books. She's a very, very successful intuitive, does intuitive readings and whatnot. But she started out in technology for a large company. And it's a great, you have to listen to her story if you can get that. I said how when she went to some meeting and she introduced herself not as a technology person but as an intuitive. And it just turns out the woman she was talking to worked for the Boston Globe or something like that. So a week later, she did an interview with her, and suddenly Lynn had more appointments for intuitive readings, and she had to quit her technology job.
Ah.
Yeah. It's a great, great thing. So I'll put a little note here because I want to connect with you also after this call. So thank you, thank you, thank you for being here, Doug.
Well,
anybody else? One more person. Name your business, and why are you here? Well, all right. So, anybody kind of get a theme of anybody notice anything from people sharing about specifically, why they're here? Anybody notice anything interesting that showed up there? And this is perfect customers, everybody. There's no right answer.
I would throw something out, Alan. This is Lynn.
Yes, Lynn.
I would say that everyone is looking for something or even wanting to deepen an experience. People are interested in making some change or some having growth in their life.
Yeah, there you go. Everybody is wanting to deepen their experience in some way. And why, why would that be, it's a common theme, but why would that be sort of a valuable thing for us to identify? It leads right into us getting started. Anybody? Or should I ask this? Okay, did anybody else notice any other sort of common themes? Along with wanting to deepen their experience. Yes,
well,
Suzanne?
This is Kate, and one of the things that I noticed is so many people said, I want people who are happy, productive, functional, whatever verbiage they used, except in this one area. So people are very much pinpointing, no one saying, I want every human being on the planet.
Interesting. Yeah. Thank you, Kate. Anybody else? Anybody else notice any sort of common thread, common theme?
This is Doug. I noticed that most everyone was looking for some kind of positive change in the world.
Interesting. Okay. And so sort of like a global view, or how would you say that? What, a positive change in the world?
Well, I guess in some, there are people who have a vision of impacting a fairly wide circle in a positive way.
Great. Okay, wide circle of impact in a positive way. Okay, this is great.
Everyone is interested in attracting I think, the perfect customer, the perfect relationship.
Well, there you go. Thank you, Lynn. So, yeah, that if you notice, what each person here noticed was that sort of a, they were noticing common threads, and this is how strategic attraction works. Now we're going to go into the actual attraction planning process and see how it works and how each of the things that you just surfaced naturally leads to the attraction planning process. So, for example, what I'd like each of you to do, and you can do whatever's perfect for you, but generally I get out a sheet of paper and take some notes. You get out an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. And a lot of times I like to play with this a little bit, because it's a little demonstration that points out that even the smallest distinctions are sometimes very important. And what I would do in live workshops is I would have everybody pull out an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, and I'd say, now fold your paper in half. Everybody fold their paper in half, and I say, okay, now who folded their paper fat like a hamburger, and who folded it long like a hot dog? And I would ask, you know, somebody would say, well, I folded it long like a hot dog. And I got this distinction from Jan's daughter, who's a third grade teacher in Spearman, Texas. And so I said, okay, well, why did you fold your paper, you know, long like a hot dog? And, of course, the distinction that comes out is that I fold the piece of paper in the way that's perfect for me. That's one of the first ahas, noticing that whether we're doing something in a way that is perfect for me, and the distinction of whether I'm doing it that way or some other way. And we know what that some other way may be, and that'll probably surface a little bit in the next 60 minutes. So the first question of the strategic attraction planning process, and I guess basically let's just, what I would usually do is have people write all four, which is now five steps. It worked really great on a folded sheet of paper because you get four quadrants. So there were four questions. We now have five questions. The fifth question, of course, being about taking attractive actions versus dazzling distractions based on the attraction plan that you've just created. But what I would do is I would have people write in each quadrant a number, 1, 2, 3, and 4. And then next to each number, next to the number 1, I would have you write, describe the qualities, characteristics, and attributes of your perfect customer. And then next to number 2, I would have you write, identify what makes you and your perfect customer tick. And next to number 3, I would have you write, specify what you want your perfect customer to expect of you. And next to the number 4, I would have you write, declare who you have to be to attract what you say you want. And of course, next to the number 5 would be, what are the next most attractive actions for you to take? And the reason that I would do that is because just having this, so now that you've got that, you've got the whole process. You could literally go out on your own, as many of us have a tendency to do, and you'd have results. But I want you to notice the difference between doing it on your own and what happens in this class, okay? So, who would like to work with me on step number 1? Any volunteers? This is where you get to step up and sort of prime the pump for everyone in the class. There's extra credit for those who step up into the heart seat.
This is Kate. I'll do it.
Okay, great. Kate, thanks. So one of the first part really of attraction plan is distinguishing what type of relationship you want to attract. And this process will work for whatever type of relationship you want to attract. You know, even intimate relationships. Okay, so we can get to that through the process, I'm sure. So the first step is to distinguish what type of relationship do I want to attract. So what would that be for you, Kate?
Well, for me, it would be long term. My perfect client, I would continue to support for years.
And what's the type of relationship? What do you what would you call it? You're a radiant animal. So what would that be?
For me, it would be partnership, because I'm partnering with them to keep their animals healthy and keep their animals in their home.
Okay, so would that be a pet owner?
Oh, obviously. You said relationship. So the first thing you've got to be
okay. So the type of relationship you're looking to attract is a pet owner.
And or an animal custodian, because I work with zoos.
Okay, perfect example. So you see, you've got two types of relationships.
Okay.
A pet owner, or what did you say, an animal custodian?
Right. That's the term that most of them will accept.
Great. So Kate has just shown the perfect example that there's different types of relationships that you can have an attraction plan for. Now, the cool thing is that the principles that you learn, and like I said, your life and business is never going to be the same after this, okay? So, Kate, you get to pick one for the purposes of this call.
Okay, we'll work with a pet owner.
Pet owner, great. Now, did we notice how basically we've already got the process started? As Lynn and you, Kate and Doug, mentioned that you noticed a common thread of qualities, characteristics, and attributes, if you will. Okay, so we've already got this started, so it should be really easy. So what I want you to do is to write down 3 to 5 qualities, characteristics, and attributes of your perfect pet owner. And while Kate, I want everybody else to do the same thing. So just like what Kate has done, come up with distinguish a type of relationship that you would like to attract into your business, like right now. Whatever that is for you. And then as we walk through this with Kate, you're going to borrow benefits, and this is one of the values of doing group, what I call group laser coaching like this, is we're going to laser focus on Kate, and you're going to notice by listening from that place of, well, geez, maybe Kate is surfacing wisdom for me. This is actually the way the universe has been set up, collaboration. If you listen from this place and have this expectation, you'll actually notice synchronicity showing up all around you. This is what we call the power of strategic synchronicity. This is the strategy of it. So, Kate, do you have like 3 to 5 qualities of your perfect pet owner?
Well, this is where things get a little muddy for me. It's a difference between a quality and a characteristic.
Okay.
So a quality to me is someone who will do what it takes to take care of the animal.
Do what it takes.
Because
okay.
There's somebody who an animal is like tissue, that they just get rid of the animal when there's a problem. They're not my clients.
Mm-hmm.
And so the people who are committed to taking care of their animal, those are the folks I want. The owners who are aware and alert to something going on with the animal, as opposed to the ones who wait till the animal's in the death throes and then call for help. So whether that's a quality or characteristic, I don't know, that particular one. So I need someone who's aware of what's going on.
Yep.
Aware of what's normal for their pet. And because normal according to textbooks is one thing. Normal according to the animal is a different thing.
Yeah. So how would you make that distinction, what you just distinguished?
Well, the way I can tell is when someone says to me, I have 3 dogs and this dog is acting weird.
Perfect.
They know their dog know what's normal per dog.
So what would you, what's the quality, characteristic, or attribute, if you will, that distinguishes that person who says that to you? What quality must they have?
They must be aware of what's going on.
Aware and alert to their pet.
Right.
Did that cover it?
Right.
Yeah, okay. So
of their pet, okay.
Another couple qualities, characteristics, or attributes.
Well, one of the things that's very important is that someone who's open to options.
Open because to options. And what does that specifically mean for you?
Well, if they're someone who says, the animal's sick, put the animal down, they're not my client. If they say, the animal's sick, I'm only taking him to the vet, no one but the vet can take care of them, they're not my ideal client. If they're someone who, you know, you could try this or this or this, you could change something in the household, that would probably help the animal, then they're a client I can work with.
Perfect. All right, so you have just distinguished and surfaced the wisdom of how to do step one very, very clearly. So, for example, what you just said was qualities there. They're open to options, okay? And then you continue to talk about that, and you could almost write a whole page of what that looks like to you. You were very, very clear, and we've got it on a recording if you need to go back and listen. Do you get that distinction about step number one?
Yeah.
Writing down the qualities, this is a list of qualities, characteristics, and attributes. And one of the qualities that Kate has expressed is for her perfect pet owner is that they're open to options. And that means something to Kate. And she has a very clear distinction and could just talk for, you know, an hour about exactly what that is for her. Okay? So that's how we sort of flesh out step number one in terms of what are the qualities, characteristics, and attributes. Now, Kate, also, you know, when I asked a little earlier in the call about did you notice any common threads throughout what people were saying about why they're here, you mentioned something about happy and productive.
Right.
What was that about? What did you notice there?
Well, it was interesting because I heard the lady who was talking about people are very successful in everything except their relationship. And then the lady who does the website design said they're happy about everything except their website, and they want their website to be better, something they can function with. So it was, what was interesting to me is that everybody's got the realization it's not our role to fix world hunger in terms of someone's business. It's our role to help in a very specific niche.
Okay, and so what was it, you know, what was it, you said, I love what you said about it was interesting to me, because that's what I saw. There was something that resonated for you around that. So can you say it a little more?
Well, coming from my business, looking at it from my viewpoint, I have, because animals mirror what's going on with a person, so when you've got an animal with an illness or an animal with something that's unusual, such as arthritis in a two-year-old dog, why? Why does a dog have arthritis? Then I have to go look at the family.
Okay, so bigger picture.
Yes, I have to go.
That's what you're saying. Okay, got it. So happiness and productivity, so you're looking at points, what I would call point value in the animal that is actually expressing something that's bigger that's happening, something that's happening almost globally, you could say, or in this case, happening in the family. Okay, that's it. Got it. Okay, so now that's thing that Doug was mentioning about the world impact. You get it? It's almost like there's a ripple effect. So basically, what I'm hearing you say is and we're going to get into this in step two, getting what makes me tick. So this kind of leads us to that. So for you, Kate, you have that appreciation that then that relates to your quality of aware and alert to the pet. Okay? Now, you've just opened up a whole new level of awareness of around and value around your business, haven't you?
Yes.
Do you see what, can you tell me what it is for you? What did you just tell everybody?
Well, what it is it's a holistic view of the pet care.
Yeah. Like holistic, like
right.
Buckminster Fuller holistic. Like it's not just about the pet, right? Is that what you were noticing for yourself? That the value that you provide is not just about the pet.
Right.
Did you get that?
Oh yes.
It's about almost an ever expanding ripple effect. That just happens to be being expressed by the pet. And so this is what happens in strategic attraction planning. You start to get to recognize the absolute true value of what you have to offer and its benefit to others. In this case, in terms of family relationships, community relationships, and the world. And so here, you know, I think that you mentioned something about world hunger, for example, where you may not be working specifically on alleviating whatever the word would be about that problem, world hunger. But the value of you working with a family's pet, actually, when you follow this thread and its impact on the family, the community, and the world, you actually are supporting what I would call world peace.
The ripple effect.
The ripple effect, exactly. And when you get that impact, the impact of that ripple effect, you get the value of your offering, of your work, of Radiant Animals, and its value and benefit, then you can't wait to go out and talk to anybody who'll listen about it. So that's one of the things that comes out of strategic attraction planning is people begin to discover the subtle value of what you have to offer. Like really, your unique fundamental difference. There may be 100 people, 200 people doing what you're doing, but you're doing it in a specific way that radiates this specific vibration out into the world, and there's people out there that can only hear it from you. That's a whole other conversation. So, is everybody kind of, I know we've kind of gone a little deep here already in step number one, but this is about as far as most self-development programs go, you know, sales and marketing programs, you know, just get the qualities and characteristics of the people that you want to attract, and that's all you need. So has anybody noticed, does everybody kind of see how you can go, you know, how you can work with step number one? And would anyone like to share something, that an insight that you had for yourself out of Kate being willing to step up and distinguish the type of relationship she wanted to attract and then some of the qualities, characteristics, and attributes and what showed up out of that? Anybody want to share something that you noticed for yourself?
I'll say something. This is Lynn. I really like Kate was very specific, and it made me aware how important it is to be specific as far as like the type of audience she was going to hone in on, because I myself tend to want to offer my services in writing or media production to more than one audience. But I thought it was great that she was really specific so that she could attract more of those.
Yeah. What was, you know, that's great, Lynn. So what was so attractive about that for you? Like, really? Because I get it. I totally resonate. When she was getting really specific like that.
That was very good. Very good.
Yeah.
Well, think of it this way. I mean, and I know everyone's heard the analogy, you know, like if you want to go to a doctor and you have to have heart surgery, do you want to just get any doctor or do you want to get the expert? You want the best heart surgeon who really knows that specific skill. And so I think people everywhere want an expert. So if you are the one who can do that, reach that one audience, you are the expert. You're claiming your expertise.
Yeah. So what I just heard you say, Lynn, is that Kate expressed herself in a way that you listened as if she were an expert. She sounded like an expert, didn't she?
Right, right.
Yeah. So, Kate, you'll let that in?
Absolutely.
That's really cool. So, there it is. That's another valuable piece of getting clear and specific about who my perfect customer is. And this is how we do that. And it's developing that skill of getting really clear about that. And then what happens is you can then you can speak the way Kate was speaking.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you confidence. Developing this skill gives you confidence, and that confidence radiates out in your speaking. So thank you.
Hi, Alan. Oh, this is Nancy.
Yes, Nancy.
I want to mention that what I heard Kate say, well, I'm not quite sure what the difference between the qualities and characteristics attributes are, and I know I've had that feeling as well many times. And yet, hearing Kate speak, what she thought it might be, I see that those three words are so linked together in being able to get to this deeper level.
Wow. Yeah. So, Kate, did you just hear what happened?
Yes.
What you get it that you're speaking. So your question, and then your answering your own question, had that impact on Nancy.
Good.
Good. So you've surfaced again the wisdom for everyone on this call and listening at home. This is what is available to you. Each and every one of us can have that kind of impact. And I should say this. We this is the impact that we do have. And so this is a really good reason to get clear and confident and specific and just be out there having fun making this kind of positive impact on people because it's going on anyway. So, wow, that was great. So, Kate, how was that for you, step number one?
It was very helpful because it clarified new, but I hadn't put the pieces in the puzzle yet.
Yeah, there it is. Put those seemingly disparate pieces of the puzzle together, and it just they all start to light up and come together. Great. So who would like to step up for, and here we're going to step number two, which is identify what makes you and your perfect customer tick. And actually, if you've taken some good notes, it's one of the things that I've noticed is really valuable as a coach, is that when I take really good notes and I write down what people are saying, the wisdom is just falling out of their mouths. And so we've got some really valuable stuff that leads to, I think, getting really clear what makes me tick. And getting what makes me tick is like turning on the light in my lighthouse. It's like amping up the wattage or whatever the thing, the frequency, the power of my radio station. And so who would like to volunteer to play with step number two, getting what makes you tick? Doug, are you still here?
No, yeah, I'm Doug. Here. I was just muted.
I thought maybe you're muted. I just thought maybe if we get a little bit of some of the men that are on the call, and what's one of the things I noticed that there's more and more men are coming to our classes, whereas in the past it's been it's not been that way. So I'd love it, Doug, if you'd like to, I'll put you on the hot seat. But would you like to play with getting what makes you tick? And you don't have to. I know it's here's the thing. I remember when Jan first asked me that question. I'd gone to a training 10 years ago now, and I was a director of sales and marketing in a telecommunications company, totally steeped in corporate. I never thought about that. And she asked me a very intelligent question, Doug. She said, well, do you have a perfect customer that you can think of? Because I'd just gone through step number one, and the guy who came to my mind was this guy named Dede Beleshi, who had lived in Albania, and he moved over here to the United States. And his job was he helped people emigrate from Albania and helped them settle into, the United States, got them an apartment, a place to live, found them a job, and got them long-distance service. And I remember the first day that I connected with Dede, and we just, talked and had a great, built a relationship. He says, Alan, tomorrow I have 200 new customers for you. I thought, yeah, okay. The next day there's 150 letters of authorization in my fax machine, and the day after that there was another 150. That was the beginning of a beautiful relationship. And so when Jan asked me, well, do you have a perfect customer? I said, well, yeah, and I was thinking of Dede. And she says, well, what do you think makes him tick? And that was the beginning of my journey into really getting clear what it was that made me tick, because it was real easy for me to talk about Dede, that what made him tick was, making a difference for people, helping people, supporting them, making their life easier, and like that. And the more I could talk about that, the more I got what makes my perfect customer tick must be what makes me tick. So with that, Doug, what would be your first stab at, what do you think makes you tick?
I'm fairly clear about it, I think. When I was a little kid, I had recurring nightmares of how humanity wipes itself out. Pollution, war, deforestation. We have several dozen up our sleeves. And in these dreams, Mother Nature was my teacher, my tutor. And over the course of about 5 years, I was taught how our sense of separation from each other and from nature herself makes us unsustainable, that the fundamental core of our unsustainability is our sense of separateness from nature and from each other. And I committed my life when I was 7 to achieving a sustainable human future or to die trying.
That's great. And you realize that that's what came out when I asked for volunteers to say, did you see a common thread in what people are expressing about why they're here? And what you said was something about creating global impact, basically, having an impact globally, a positive impact. And so what would you say is the word sustainable? What does that really mean to you?
Well, what is that? Well, gosh, it's hard to talk about that word outside of a specific context. Sustainable mostly means that everything is connected, everything adds up, and everything balances.
Interesting. So do you see how that relates to what Kate was talking about in step one?
Yes.
Yes. The dog has thus and such and thus and such. So that relates to sustainability. Okay, got it. So sustainability is about connection and collaboration. Would you say that?
No, I think that's the key to how to get there.
Okay.
But it's much more about kind of taking responsibility for our own waste and our own mess and the side effects of our decisions. We kind of relate to the world like we can use it and we can dump whatever we want as if somehow we're dumping it someplace other than the world.
Got it. So that would be the piece that I was saying about strategic traction planning. Here's how I would put it. It trains me how to make decisions based on what's important to me. And so sustainability is important to me, therefore I would be making a decision based on that. Perfect. Okay, so sense of separateness. I love what you just said here. Sense of separateness. And it is a sense from nature and from each other. Okay. So Mother Nature was your tutor. Did you ever hear a book called The Once and Future King?
Yes.
Where Merlin works with King Arthur. And basically Mother Nature was his tutor. And at the critical time where King Arthur had to pull the sword from the stone, all the laws of nature, you know, all of the animals and the plants and whatnot, that Merlin had, the way it was in the book, Merlin had turned him into these different things. Basically, it was a relationship with Mother Nature. All of those laws of nature came to support him in pulling the sword from the stone. So I get it, Doug. This is who you are. This is great. Okay, so what would you say then, if you were to break it down into one expression, so what makes you tick is something around having a sense or understanding. No, is there something here about your sense of separateness from nature and from each other and this sustainable thing? So,
well, part of what drives me is what for me is a very real fear that we're all too close to losing about 7 billion humans.
Yeah, okay. So here's a good distinction. I get it. Fear is extremely motivating. That's why roller coasters are so popular. Okay? And what's the opposite of fear, would you say?
Well, attraction or love.
Yeah.
So I'm attracted toward a humanity that is connected, loving, and self-responsible.
Oh, yeah. Great. Okay. So you know there's an acronym, FEAR, false evidence appearing real?
Yes.
So did you ever hear of a book called The Game of Life by Florence Scovel Shinn? There's a line that I remember. It's 40 years ago since I've read the book, but I still remember this one line. Something to the effect of, man must guard moment by moment to see that he is motivated by faith and not by fear. And so that's kind of what I see in your expression about connected to loving and self. Is that self-reliant?
Self-responsible.
Self-responsible. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so I get it. So what's the opposite? So the opposite of these what was the fears, that things that you were saying that that were you afraid of humanity destroying itself?
I'm afraid that we're on the verge of getting rebooted back to the Stone Age.
Yeah. Okay, so say fear of humanity destroying itself. What would the opposite of that be?
Humanity coming through for itself.
Yeah.
And for nature.
Great. So here's what I'd like you to try on. That's what makes you tick.
Gotcha.
I don't know about anybody else, but I just got goosebumps when Doug said gotcha. Now, anybody else?
Yes, I did.
Slim. Yeah. Wow. Humanity coming through for itself. Wow. Because you, Doug, of all people, really get that, because you're really clear on this, on the things... On the fear piece, okay, which we all are. Cerebral cortex just totally lights up when we're afraid. And it's a process of turning it around. God, I just got you. You're a turner arounder. Oh, my goodness. I apologize. I have this... this skill or ability or whatever you'd want to call it, for seeing people without the benefit of their own filters. And so I just saw you, Doug. You are an amazing person around turning this whole thing around. So tell me a little bit about your coaching that you want to go into.
I'm not so much going into coaching myself as in I've designed a set of tools so that people who are out to change their thinking and their habits, which is sort of the essence of transformation, it's also the essence of what most coaches deliver is you want to have more of these thoughts and less of those thoughts, and you want to take more of these actions and do less of those actions. And
got it. Okay, got it. And that's my definition of transformation is healing my separateness from God. So that's interesting how, you're actually healing this sense of separateness, which is totally doable, which really, I get it, is humanity coming through for itself. That great.
So
you were going to say something else?
Well, in my my career up to now has mostly been in tech.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I do in tech, the intuitive application, is that I'm able to read people's internal systems and read their values and goals and mission and then point out where their systems aren't aligned with their mission and their goals, and then map them out the easiest way to get them all going in the same direction.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to do now is that doing technology is harder if you're out to change the status quo, because the status quo kicks back.
Yes, it does.
And so I'm trying to get people in the industry, people who do websites and social media marketing and all that stuff, to better understand these thousands of world changers who are coming out of the woodwork in huge numbers, who want to get themselves online to reach their tribe, their audience, and make their difference. And I want to set up the world changers to understand what they need from the techs, and I want the techs to understand the world changers so they can serve them properly and understand that changing the world is different from selling cat toys. No offense to cat toys.
So you said cat toys?
Yes, cat toys.
And we just got that a cat toy can change the world.
Yes.
But yeah, I get your distinction. selling widgets and gadgets.
Right.
You're actually selling. Yeah, that's interesting. You're selling world changing. Basically, you're selling fulfilling. It is. It's hard to say, isn't it, Doug?
Yeah. Well, right. So that's why my ideal client is someone who's already understands that world changing is the game, and that world changers are the audience, and they're already working to have world changers succeed, because now they'll understand why my tools would be useful.
Great. So, you know, these words, I wrote these words down. These words came out of your mouth. And I'm asking you to take a look at these words and see how they express very clearly what you just said about world changing is the game, and that your purpose and passion is to see that world changers succeed, are successful. And there's a lot of different types of world changers. A lot of them are on this call right now. So our whole global SACAT community is an already pre-qualified group of people for you, Doug. And
right.
So I'd like you to try on, since now you see here, step number two. Does everybody notice how deep you can go with step number two with someone who's willing to do that? This is what's available to each of us in our own life. So Doug, you know, he can look at the value of what he's received just out of this, doing this process here today with all of us. But I want each and every one of you to look at what's possible for you in being able to share this process with your customers and have the quality of experience that, I feel really connected to Doug, because I'm getting what makes him tick. Like, really, I feel like I've discovered, you know, who he is, what he's up to. And he's really up to something big in the world. And so just in this short time, we've used this process, this step number two, to create a connection. And that's what is the foundation of building a successful relationship and attracting customers that are a perfect fit for me. This is the foundation on which that is built. So you want to try on this tick statement that I heard fall out of your mouth? Yeah, well, here's what I want you to try. I want you to say, "Hi, I'm Doug, and what makes me tick is humanity coming through for itself
and for nature.
Yeah, but isn't humanity part of nature? So it's you know what I mean. I
but
mean, we have,
they don't know that.
Yeah, but that, my point is that you're all about transformation, which is healing my separateness. And by saying, adding on that little thing about nature on the end is expressing my separate. I think I'm separate from nature. I'm not. That's the whole point.
Okay, I hear you.
So just try it on, and that's another little tip. And you have to remember, Doug, I've been working with, and of course, married Jan Stringer. Okay, so I have been in this process for 10 years, deeply, deeply steeped in it. And so the tip is to start noticing how our speaking is actually keeping us separate. Just notice little things like that. We all want to add on a little thing on the end.
Uh-huh.
But okay, so try it. Go ahead. I'm so excited I can hardly speak.
Hi, I'm Doug.
Doug, yes.
And what makes me tick is the vision of humanity coming through for itself.
Yeah, how's that feel?
Very simple and very true.
Yeah, and you may wordsmith a little bit, but you know, I'm like speechless. I don't know about you, Doug. You know what?
I'm always moved when I connect with my core mission.
That's great. Well, there it is. Anybody want to share something that you got out of this little journey with Doug?
Alan, this is Lynn. I'd like to share what just I noticed happened. And Doug, thank you for being so open. It's really helpful. But I just noticed what Alan and Jan have called strategic synchronicity happen when you were speaking, meaning it just seemed to be happening, but it was strategic. It must, from a higher reason, this is all happening. But what makes me tick is helping transformational leaders basically express their stories to make a positive impact. And what you're doing is helping, it seems, to bridge the gap. As taking notes, you said helping humanity come through for itself, and humanity are those transformational leaders, those people who are making a difference. So I was thinking how just the energy of this call, really, and everyone on it is, and it's really someone who wants to be transforming the world, making it a better place. So I just thought it's really interesting that there's the synchronicities, energy that can be felt.
Yeah, so you felt that for yourself, Lynn, out of, mm-hmm. And I love what you said. You said, oh, thank you, Doug, for being so open.
Yeah.
Okay, and so, Doug, there's a lot of people listening, on this call and at home, and saying, thank you, Doug, for being the one who stepped up to the heart seat. I mean, you get what I'm saying, Doug? You just
yes.
Volunteered, stepped right up. Well, okay, I called you out. Now I understand why. Oh, my goodness. So, again, this, what Lynn just expressed about what she got from Doug being so open, being willing to be open and being willing to be vulnerable. What showed up for Lynn was extremely valuable. So Doug stepping up and being willing to be vulnerable and, do this process, that's what happened for Lynn. Now, also, if you notice, what Lynn just expressed is that there is a a synchronicity between Doug and Lynn and what they do. And she noticed that there's a lot of people out there that are like that. And so this is the impact that we can have. So I guess what I'm trying to say is Doug's perfect customers are on this call. Lynn is connected with, and I'm sure Lynn would validate this, a lot of people. I mean, Lynn actually has a radio program or a what is it?
On air.
Pardon?
It's an online Hangout on Air show, a program that's both video and audio through Google Hangouts on Air, where we interview leaders like that.
Yeah.
Help them get their stories out.
Got it. So, did everybody see what just happened? This is the power of strategic synchronicity. So, the strategy was Doug stepped up and volunteered to play with me on step number two. He opened himself up. He was vulnerable. He was real. He was authentic. He's willing to go as deep as he wanted to go. And what showed up was an impact on Lynn. So that's the first part. That if you would consider becoming certified in using this process in your own business and then being able to share it with others, this is the impact that you can have on your customers. But wait, there's more. Because now Lynn and Doug have this connection. We created a situation, a creative and imaginative situation that allowed Doug and Lynn to connect. And Lynn saw this connection. She's connected now with a whole group of people and through these hangouts on air that are perfect customers for Doug. And that's how the ripple effect works. So now after the call, Doug and Lynn get together and do, let law of attraction, go to work. That's what I'm seeing is in the power of this global SACAT community that we're developing. Our goal is to have 6 million people, as I said, using strategic attraction to change the way business is done in the world. So, wow.
Hi, Alan. This is Nancy, because I'm so appreciative of Doug talking about the desire and the need to communicate this type of message on a whole different level than what's out there. And that speaks to me so well as well.
Yeah, and tell Doug why.
Well, because at the SACAT retreat in Santa Fe, it hit me like a ton of bricks that I am all about communicating on a much deeper level than most people are able to get to, and how I do that visually and with words so that when people get to a website, it's like, oh, this is different, and oh, yeah, I get this, and wow, this really intrigues me.
Because what do you do?
Because I am about connecting with my perfect customer on a higher level, and so therefore through the connection, it then brings the whole design to a different level.
Yeah, so you're a graphic designer who builds that kind of WordPress website. And I loved how you put it earlier about people, you build a website that they become self, or you could say sustainable, a sustainable website. They become self-reliant. Isn't that what you do with your WordPress websites?
Yes, I do teach people how to be self-reliant.
Yeah. So there's another connection there. And so now you see what's happened is Nancy has just said, wow, I just really have got this connection from Doug doing what he did. So, Doug, do you see how you've impacted two people just on this call?
Yes.
Yeah. This is how it's going to work, ladies and gentlemen. This is how humanity, this is how each of us in our own unique way is going to support humanity coming through for itself. And I thank you, Doug, for that expression that just fell out of you, because I totally get that. And I am totally on board. I feel like you're one of our, I feel like I've met yet another one of our tribe, and I'm thrilled. So, wow. We've got 15 minutes left. And I have to tell myself, the last strategic attraction in action class, I got so excited, I went a half an hour over. I didn't even realize it. So this call ends in 15 minutes. Just a gentle reminder to myself. So, wow. This is an example of how deep you can go and with the strategic attraction planning process, whether you use it just in your own business to support yourself or whether you actually become certified and use it to create these powerful opportunities to connect with people, whether it's at a networking meeting, whether you're a speaking engagement, whether it's with your, you know, your customers and clients, existing clients. It's amazing how this process can support you. So, let's kind of go really quickly here. Who would like to dive into step number three? Specify what I want my perfect customer to expect of me. This is worded in a very, very specific way. Because, as somebody mentioned, traditional marketing has basically taught us that what we have to do is go out there, find out what people want, and then provide it for them. And like I said, traditional marketing has become traditional because it works all the time for certain people. We're going to add in the piece to have it work for me all the time. This is the missing piece. Step number three. What do I want my perfect customer to expect of me? Very, very powerful question. So anybody want to... Right, so after I say that, who wants to step up and play with me on step number three?
I'll do that, Ellen.
Okay.
I don't want to be
perfect.
It's Lynn.
Yes.
I think Doug really exemplified step number three, specifying what perfect customers should expect of us. I would think, and we were making some comments here, that the perfect customers would, for me, would be people who are open and willing to grow and be able to have more exposure. And our perfect customers, especially... The perfect customers would probably also want to expect of me or of us that we are clear on what our objectives are.
Oh, boy. Yeah, boy, you have really stepped in it, Lynn. Thank you very much.
I've been contemplating this a while.
This is great. Okay. So here is step number three is what do I want my perfect customer to expect of me? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And what I just heard you say is Lynn Sanders wants her perfect customers to expect her to be open and willing to grow and clear about what that looks like.
You're right.
Yeah, what was that? Hmm.
Oh, because I was starting to do it the other way around, but you're right.
That's what we all do that.
Yes.
That's traditional marketing.
Yes.
Strategic attraction planning, step number three, is about me. Because if like attracts like, you know, if the law of attraction really is a universal law, and like attracts like, that means that my perfect customer wants what I want. And if I try to offer something to them because I think they want it, but it's not something I want to offer, it's never going to be successful.
That's really true. Yes, so my perfect customer would expect me to be open.
I want my perfect customer to expect me to be open, willing to grow, and clear about what that looks like.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Did you write that down?
I did. which ties in really well with what Nancy is doing.
Yeah, exactly. Because
helping people be clear
so,
on what they want.
Yeah, so step number three... You're right. It really connects with step one, qualities, characteristics of... So now does everybody see that if I want my perfect customer to expect me to be open, willing to grow, and clear about what that looks like for me, that then relates to what Doug was talking about, me being responsible to inquire into what that is for me. For me. Mm-hmm. What's important to me is that I'm open and willing to grow. And that, and it's important to me that I'm clear about what that looks like for me. So that places the responsibility to get clear
right.
about that.
That's great.
Yeah. So you see how it relates to step one and step three.
Mm-hmm.
So step that leads us to step number four, which is really the fun part. Well, it's all fun for me, but that's just me. That's why I'm here, I guess, right? This is, you know, I just want to thank each and every one of you that's here for giving me the opportunity to live my purpose and passion and give my truest gift. This, for me, is like I'm a kid in a candy store. So I'm just so grateful to each and every one of you for making this possible for me. So step three leads us to step four. So now Lynn has basically showed us how to play with step three, and it's a process. Okay, get it? So now Lynn has to flesh out. She is now responsible to discover for herself what it looks like for her to be clear, for her to be willing to grow and to be open. Mm-hmm. And that's a process. Right, Lynn?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And you are, I have to tell you, you are succeeding. You know, I'm so thrilled to be a part of your process and your program.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, if you remember all the way back to the beginning.
Yes, yes. It's a continual journey.
It is. And boy,
because
you know.
I'm reading a really good book called, which it's by Marianne Williamson, The Gift of Change.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anyone else has read it, but it's all really about being open to the present and then learning from that.
Perfect. So there's a perfect example of how to get content for your attraction plan. There's a reason why you're attracted to that. So notice what you're resonating with in that book and add it to your attraction plan. Because if you're attracted to that, who else do you think is attracted to that?
The perfect customer.
Yeah. And the clearer you get, the more you're open and willing to grow and get clear,
mm-hmm.
the more attractive you're going to become.
Perfect.
It's natural law. So great. So step number four, declare who you have to be to attract what you want. So step four is really a way to look back on the first three steps and come up with a playful title of who you would have to be to attract world changers. You know, to attract people who have a website that they're not happy with and that they want to clearly express their world-changing qualities in graphic design and in text. To attract people who see that the point value of a pet in their home and being connected with that pet and being open and aware and how the impact that has on the world. So anybody come up with sort of a being statement? Who would I have to be to have that, all of that show up?
Alan, this is Kate.
Yes, Kate.
And you said go for something, you know, somewhat humorous?
Yes.
For me, it's almost like being an encyclopedia and a bedtime story combined. Because
great.
The encyclopedia is the knowledge and the awareness of the latest technology, the latest research, what's going on with all the different species of animals. And the bedtime story is to reassure and help the owner as well as the animal to accept whatever the answers are.
Yeah, and I see a part in there about the bedtime story, about the reframe and tell a different story. That's great. I have a great story about that I'll share with you at a perfect time, about my grandson in Walmart losing a $20 bill. Oh, that's great, Kate. Yes, so what would your being be? Being an encyclopedia and a bedtime story all at the same time.
Well, it's the being is being very up on and understanding all, like I said, the research and the studies and what's coming out in terms of medications and the risks and the benefits.
I totally get it. So your being...
And the being, somebody said early on, I think it was Lynn that said, except that I'm the expert.
Ah, I'm the expert. Yeah. Because you get it. That's, you know, you really are.
Yeah.
And so to have a being, oh, this is great. Just the last 4 minutes, okay? So everybody get this. Kate got it from Nancy.
Oh, it was Nancy? Okay.
I think it was Nancy who said, geez, what I got was that, you know, when she said this, well, I'm not quite sure about qualities, characters, attributes, et cetera, and then you answered that that Nancy got it, that, you know, that you were, there was a resonance of expertness, shall we say, in your speaking. Okay? Even though you were speaking about, you weren't sure about something. There's that vulnerability piece that's so real that has you show up as the expert, okay? And so you really are, aren't you, Kate?
Yep.
Therefore, to think of yourself as anything less than that would be what?
It'd be a waste of my talent, and it would not be a service to the animals.
Yeah, because it's a lie.
Oh.
And so I have a friend who wrote a book called Why Is This Happening to Me Again? It's all about forgiveness. And he says, if I'm in pain, I'm in error. And that's what a lie is. So whenever I'm, you might look at, you know, whenever you're sort of suffering over whatever, you may be thinking that you are something other than the expert, and that you can't actually have what you say you want. All a lie. Because you can have it all. So your being, you just created two beings, and this is, I want everyone to borrow this benefit in the last 2 minutes here of the call, is to create a being for yourself that you will be being when you get off the call. And Kate is being an encyclopedia and a bedtime story all at the same time. And that's what will make her the expert. So how does it feel, Kate, to believe that that's true, to have that being getting off this call? How does that make?
It feels fabulous, and it feels very natural for me.
Yeah, there you go. Doug, did you hear that? Feels very natural for me.
Yes.
Because that's what you're up to, getting people back to feeling natural. Nature, huh? That's great. Thank you, Kate. So this is how we, you know, play with step number four, creating our being, declaring our being. And this can help us moment by moment by moment. This principle, a simple process. I'm sitting here, my computer's not working, I can't get this. I can create a being What's the opposite of someone whose computer's not working? Create a being around that. So I want all of us to take on a being, but we can borrow Kate's, if we like, and being encyclopedia and bedtime story all at the same time. That's a total being shift. And I am being the expert. And so with that, does everybody remember the very beginning of the call? I asked you to write down a goal. Did anybody actually do that? Mm-hmm. If you did, now yeah. I want you to look at that. All right? And now I want you to take all of this energy that we've generated in this call. So believe it or not, we've actually personally raised your level of consciousness. You're never going to, you can't return to where you were before. Okay? You're going to go out in activity, and yeah, it'll, you know, what was it that Doug said about it beats back? Let's see. Reality, or I have to look at my notes here somewhere. Any rate, it's kind of like being in a tennis match. Reality is going to hit the ball back to you. And that's part of the game of life. And so take an attractive action based on what you've learned in this class and use the energy that's shown up here to support you in fulfilling on whatever that goal was that you wrote down. So, what? And I know we're 1 minute over time. I apologize for that. So I want you, each person, to write down one attractive action that you will take, and that's an action that is in alignment with your attraction plan. So would anybody like to volunteer one attractive action that you're going to take after getting off this call?
I'm working on a new copy for my website, so I'm taking attractive action of being really clear on what I write so I will attract the perfect customers.
Perfect. Who else?
You know, I'm going to do the exact same thing. This is Nancy. I'm going to update the wording on my website.
Yeah. To match your new inner vibration. You've raised your level of consciousness to a higher level of functioning. It now needs to be reflected on your website. That's why you need to hire Nancy to be able to give you a WordPress website so that you can do exactly that. Who else?
This is Kerry.
Kerry.
So I have figured out how to use free conference call. And so the next step is to schedule a 90-minute SAP teleconference, and then to get emails out to promote that, with the idea from that call to create some one-on-one strategic attraction plan clients.
Way to go, Kay! Woo! That was a lot. That was a lot of actions there.
Three steps.
Yeah, you're stepping up and stepping out, huh? That's great. All right, well, you know, remember, email me, send me flowers, write me a letter, whatever, so I can support you anyway.
I will email the SACATs that they can sit in and support me.
There you go. See? Wow. What a great idea. Who else? One more attractive action. I know this is hard because if I step up and say I'm going to take this action, it is. It's like making that declaration. And I report to a group of people that I'm going to take an action, you know, all of a sudden there's this sense of accountability. But trust me. Use the energy that's on this call to support you in fulfilling on whatever your fondest dream is. And it takes just mention one little thing that you're going to take an action on. One last person. Okay, that would be me. Is that what you're telling me? So my next attractive action is to I'm going to get this viral, working on this SACAT Plan B project where we're raising awareness and money to train 60 women entrepreneurs to become successful honeybee farmers. And I have a viral tell-a-friend project that I'm working on. So that's my next action. As soon as I get off the call, I'm going to make the necessary calls to get the technology in place to have that be successful and happen. And so with that, I apologize. We've gone a couple minutes over. Thank you, everyone, for being here. And a great big group hug and a dating game kiss. And I'll see you around the SACAT campus. And anybody has any questions about becoming certified, just email us, call us, send us flowers, like I said, whatever. I love each and every one of you. Thank you for letting me live my passion and purpose and give my truest gift. Okay, bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.